This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover a lot of different types of topics around the Umpqua Valley. And here we are almost to the official start of winter. And that means a lot of people are going inside, but there are still things outside to deal with. And we've brought in Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. Good to see you again.
And introduce who you brought with you.
Hi, I brought Kelly Simonson with me. She is our 4-H agent, relatively new, and excited to be here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how long have you been here?
I've been full-time in the position for 6 months, but I've been a Douglas County resident since 1996.
So how did you get into working at the Extension Service?
Well, I've always been a part of 4-H and FFA growing up. My kids are part of 4-H and FFA, and I've been a leader and I've been in education for a long time. So when the position came open, it just seemed like a really good fit.
So are you overseeing the whole program then?
Or? I am. Mm-hmm.
And that must keep you busy.
It does keep me very busy. I've been really fortunate to hire on a new educational program assistant, Katie Baxter, who is really jumping into the role really well and helping us out.
So you kind of transitioned from being a 4-H parent to being a 4-H staff person.
Yep. It was a big jump.
Now, do you have a ranch or property yourself?
My husband and I just bought some property out towards Glide. We have about 6.5 acres, and my son has his cattle on there, and my daughter until recently had her sheep out there too. So
you're pretty invested in this.
We are, yeah.
All right. So, Logan, talk about some of the things that are coming up, because I know a lot of people tend to think, okay, it's winter, I'm just staying inside.
Right, and the thought would be, it's winter, it's time to maybe cool down, but it's definitely not. We got quite a few classes coming up, and if you own a farm or a garden, it's actually time to start pruning, too, so it's a busy time of year. Tomorrow, we actually have a webinar coming up called Before You Buy Land. The idea there is that if you're looking at starting any kind of agricultural enterprise, there's some things you should know before you purchase land to start that agricultural enterprise on. And so that's a free webinar being hosted through Lane County Extension. I'm one of the speakers on it. And that'll be tomorrow at noon, I believe.
And, a lot of times people like me don't think about pruning until it's too late.
Yeah. And it can get away from you really quick, especially when it's cold outside and maybe raining. You don't really feel like going out there. But if you've got apples or pears or even some varieties of blueberries, now's the time to be out there.
You know, and I'm just one of those city people with a 70 by 100-foot lot. And our other house, the lot is bigger, but it's mainly grass. But one of the things that happens is we've got a hydrangea in the front of the house. We've got to pull it way back. Like I should have done that last weekend, maybe, when I had some time, and to just about nothing, or it goes crazy on you the next year. But more than once, I've looked around during spring break, and my wife is like, you can't do that now. It's already got new growth.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that. If you get too far into the season when you start cutting back, instead of encouraging growth for the next year, you're actually reducing growth. So, for example, with apples, if you've got trees that have straight-up shoots, those are called water shoots, and they're vegetative. You'll cut those off in the summer because you're trying to reduce the growth of the tree. But when we're pruning to get more fruit production, that's when you prune in the winter. And same thing with your hydrangea.
And what about other pruning that's going on?
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, right now we're kind of at the beginning of pruning for blueberries for certain varieties, but that's going to really kick off in the next few weeks here. And we actually have a blueberry pruning workshop coming up in Elkton. We're going to show folks how to prune their blueberry bushes, looking at really more mature trees or bushes, but we'll be talking about everything from well-established mature bushes down to like your first year of pruning.
And blueberries, are you seeing a continued increase, if I can get that out, in the amount of land people have got blueberries on?
I actually got a call this morning about blueberries, planting some. So they're always sort of in production, and we're starting to see some come in, and it kind of fluctuates, but they're definitely a good crop to plant, so we see them pretty frequently.
And the other aspect I was thinking about with blueberries is just, I mean, you've got a couple places that do them commercially, big.
Yeah, absolutely. Oregon is either the number one or number two producer of blueberries in the States. And it's just because we have really great land for it, and so we produce some really quality blueberries here.
All right, let's talk about soil management. What do you have going on with that?
Yeah, so we're going to the coast. In January, we'll be doing a soil management 101 class in Winchester Bay at the community center there. That'll be on January 20th from 10:30 to noon. And the link for that's going to get posted on the Extension website soon. And the goal there is just to talk about soil management for agriculture in the environment of the coast. It's a little bit different soil there. There's some different management strategies that we want to be looking at, and we're going to try to encapsulate that.
So what is different about the soil there?
Depending on where you are on the coast, they have soils over there called spodosols. That's a little technical, but I'm going to explain it. If you've ever been to the coast and you've seen sort of the cliff faces where it's sand-colored, then gray, and then sand-colored again, that's a specific kind of soil, and that gray is called a gley layer, and it has different chemical properties. So there's obviously drainage differences and some chemical properties that are different when we're talking about soils and production in those soils there. We also have a few different soils there that are higher in aluminum content, and that can pose a challenge when producing. So it's something you want to think about and work around.
So with the soils over there, what's different about what you can grow?
So the soils are definitely part of that, and that's that drainage aspect. So, for example, if we're just looking at the soil profile, the coast would be a good place for blueberries because we want that drainage. But we have to couple that with the climate that's over there, too. It's oftentimes cooler over there, and it's a lot wetter, usually. So looking at all of that, we want to think about, are we doing range production? If we're doing fruit production, where and how are we managing that? And what are your seasons? Because the seasons on the coast are far different than ours.
Yeah, definitely. I know that beekeeping, I mean, there's even a beekeepers group around here. What do you have coming up with that?
So I'm actually working with the beekeepers group, the Umpqua Valley Beekeepers. We're going to be doing an intro to beekeeping class in February. That'll be on the 10th, and it'll be from 10 to 1 at the Extension office. So we're going to kind of explore all things for the beginner beekeeper. What should you be purchasing? What can you source otherwise? How do you get bees? What's the care for them? If you're using pesticides at your home, how do you do that safely? Or what are the alternatives to that? And how do you produce and sell honey?
And one of our neighbors does that. I stay out of that part of the yard, though.
That's fair.
Because I don't really want to get stung. And it's amazing. I mean, there's so many things you have to know about it to do it, you know, and not get stung or worse.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the goal of this class, is to be a primer for that. It's hard to say that you'll become a beekeeper after one course, but you'll have a lot of direction to use as a springboard.
So what's the advantages, or why would you want to be a beekeeper?
Well, for a lot of folks, it's a really fun hobby. And for some folks, it's an enterprise. You can actually make money off of selling honey. So, and some folks just love bees.
I don't know why.
I like bees.
Yeah, as long as they stay away.
Fair enough.
Stay at least a certain distance away. I've got some bad stories about bees. It's all, we're going to have a session later. let's switch, please. Apples.
Yeah, so a few years ago, there was an apple grafting class through the Extension office, and it seemed really popular. And I had some folks asking me if we'd do another one. So we decided to go for it. So in March, we're going to be doing a grafting class focused on apples specifically, and it sounds like we'll have probably 3 to 5 different varieties of scion, so the fruiting wood, to graft onto rootstock. And so during that class, we'll be learning about different rootstocks and what they do, how to correctly graft and care for your tree to fruiting, and the different kinds of varieties that you can put onto rootstocks. We're using one specifically, it's called M26. That's a dwarfing rootstock, so these won't be very tall trees. They'll be easily accessible from the ground. And ideally, everyone's going to leave with a few trees that attends the class.
Are apples good to grow around here?
Yeah, apples do great.
Interesting. Okay. Let's look at spring. Talk about some things you have as we get to spring.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this class we've got going on in March. We're going to be doing a mushroom propagation class. I'm doing that in partnership with the FNR program, the Forestry Natural Resources Program and Extension. So that's Alicia Christensen. And we're going to be producing 3 different kinds of mushrooms. So we'll be looking at shiitakes, wine caps, and lion's mane. And in that, we're going to be looking at 3 different ways to propagate and grow mushrooms using forest resources and small farms resources. So we'll look at grain production, sawdust production, and growing mushrooms on logs.
And when we get to spring or almost, you guys always have a big event.
Yeah, Spring into Gardening. We're really excited about it this year. That's going to be on March 9th. And we have some new and kind of interesting things going on. So the Master Food Preserver Program is going to participate. They're doing the keynote talk. And then 4-H is actually also participating. They're going to be doing a classroom session on grow boxes, right?
Yep.
Awesome. And then we're going to also do another apple grafting class at Spring into Gardening. So if you aren't able to come to the one on March 22nd, you can come to the one on March 9th.
And so a lot of these are already online or will be as they get closer, right?
Yep. Yep. Several of these are already on our website, and then a few more of these are going to pop up in the next week or so.
All right, we're going to switch gears and talk 4-H with Kelly when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It is 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. And U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley joins us tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. We're talking about 4-H and FFA with Logan Bennett from the Extension Service and fairly new, what is your official title, Kelly Simonson?
I am the 4-H program coordinator for Douglas County.
And how many youth are you serving in the county?
Currently, Douglas County serves over 600 youth, and we consist of 100 different project areas that kids can participate in, ranging from animal projects to computer science and robotics. So 4-H has gone way beyond cows and plows.
And youth, cows and plows.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. I had never heard that before. A lot of people probably don't realize that emphasis, though, on other areas, too, because mm-hmm. even if you're living a rural lifestyle with, you know, animals and all the things that go with it, mm-hmm. you might need a computer or you might need to be involved in robotics.
Yeah, exactly. More and more farming and commercial farming is going towards robotics. If you've ever gone to the fair in the past couple of years, you've seen a display from Sutherland FFA chapter that has robotic planting and watering and programming for things that they have in their greenhouse and plants that they've been growing. So that's becoming more and more common. And the cool thing about 4-H is it gets kids in on the ground floor. We've even had some clover buds last year that created their own maze, their own video game maze that they ran a character through.
So if people want to get their kids involved, do you work in the school calendar? What's the cycle?
So 4-H is unique in that we're a year-round program, and we go from October to October. So we don't end at the fair. We continue on. Kids can enroll right now. You can contact us through the 4-H office at 541-672-4461 or drop by our office over by the courthouse.
Now, obviously, 4-H doesn't work just on paid staff people.
No, we do not. We have over 200 volunteers that are in our county that just work with 4-H members, and we have a lot of community partners that have helped us out, especially this year since I've started in the program.
And talk about some of the things that you've got coming up.
Well, we have been working since 4-H is about education and youth development. We've been partnering with a lot of different communities, partners this year. One of those partners is the HIV Alliance in Roseburg. And last month we offered a free naloxone and drug awareness training. And we're offering another one on Monday at the Extension office at 6:30. We're also working on getting a QPR suicide prevention training with the ESD and some CPR first aid classes in the spring.
So things that maybe people wouldn't necessarily think about for 4-H.
Right, exactly. The point of 4-H is not just to develop a project. It's more about developing the whole child.
And talk about some of the other partnerships you've got going on.
This year, we've partnered with a few different businesses and community partners. We were able to partner with Dan Park and Darla Carr from the Douglas County Farmers Co-op, and they hosted some feed and nutrition and animal selection workshops for kids and the community. More recently, we were able to do some hands-on workshops for the kids, including floral arranging taught by Barb from Barb's Flowers, and a jewelry making class taught by Flying HJ Designs and Creations. And our next workshop in January is going to be how to make greeting cards. And in February, really quick turnaround, is going to be a leather craft workshop.
Of course, if you learn to make greeting cards in January, you have to buy them for Christmas if you use them.
Yes, but the point is we encourage our kids in the 4-H programs to give thank you notes to their people that are helping them in the community, whether that's just a parent or a business or even people that purchase animals from the fair.
Wait, that is something that's amazing. Giving thank you notes.
Mm-hmm.
What century are we in now?
I know, right? It's becoming a lost art, and so kids are losing more and more touch as electronics become more and more prevalent. They're losing more and more touch with some of those crafts of making those cards and being able to write a simple thank you note.
Well, and even just saying thank you.
Yeah, that too.
Instead of just presuming that, of course, that's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other show. So how do you like doing what you're doing so far?
I really enjoy it. I like working with the youth a lot. I like being able to bring in our community partners to make positive influences and differences with our kids. I like working in the extension office. I get to work with cool people like Logan or Mandy Hatfield, who's part of our SNAP program, and all those people, Shelby and Alicia, and our office staff is pretty great too.
Now, if people want to find out more about some of the things that you have going on the 4-H side of things, mm-hmm. is that online as well?
It is, and we have a really quick and easy website where our events and community trainings are updated constantly, and that would be beav.es/QM2.
And is that listed on the website?
It is on the website, mm-hmm.
And BEAV.
Yep.
As in
Oregon State all the way.
Oh, boy. You're on your home of the ducks. Okay. Now, you are wrapping up. You mentioned you go to October, but you are kind of wrapping up the 4-H program for 23, right?
The 4-H program for 2023 closed out on September 30th, and so the new program for 23-24 started October 1st.
And do you need more help volunteer-wise?
We do. We always need help volunteer-wise. We've been fortunate enough to have one new leader training that we hosted 11 people for the training, and we have another one this Saturday with 23 people signed up.
So if somebody was interested in finding out more and maybe even thinking about doing it, what should they do?
They should stop by the office or give us a call.
What's the number over there?
The number is 541-672-4461.
So for 4-H, what's the age range?
The 4-H is really a broad age range. So we have clover buds, which are our little guys, from 5 to 8 years old. And then we have the older kids that you see at the fair with their animals and all that stuff, ages 9 to 19.
So you cover a lot of age groups and a lot of different activities.
We do.
So, Logan, what do you observe from watching the 4-H folks?
I think the 4-H program's been awesome. I'm really glad to see it growing and all these new programs popping up. It's been just really cool to see. And also, having our 4-H coordinator in the office has been really great for the rest of us. We all get to coordinate and come up with new classes. Kelly and I worked together on a program in October where we provided agricultural education to over 160 kids out of the fairgrounds. So it's just been really fantastic.
And do you work with some of the high schools and other schools that have programs?
Yeah, sometimes. If high schools reach out to me, I'm happy to work with them. Usually it's based around either like a one-off farming class or some gardening, things like that.
And remind folks how you got into this as a career.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a background in soil science. I got my master's in soil and plant pathology, specifically around a pathogen called Phytophthora. And then from there, I worked as an agronomist for a few years, focusing on permanent cropping systems. And I really wanted to get into this kind of space where I could help the public out and really work with a community. And OSU Extension really gives you that opportunity. So I'm still doing a lot of that agronomic work, but the focus of my job is to help provide education that's science-backed, help producers grow what they're intending to grow, and really get them from point A to point B in whatever their production needs might be.
All right, Logan Bennett, Kelly Simonson from the OSU Extension Service. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.